Hey man, that's a great intro created by our very own Sydney Sanford. So well done to Sydney. As usual, does a great job with that. So I have the privilege of jumping into a new series, which is exciting. But I'm Pastor Chad, if you're visiting here today. So welcome. Great to have you here. It's great to have a couple close friends here with us this morning. And just my privilege to, share a little bit of stuff with you. And our title is Hurry Up and Wait. And I'll kind of explain that a little bit here in a minute. But who likes waiting? Anyone? No, I don't think there's a person in here that likes waiting. There was a great study done. It was actually back in the 60s, and this next video will kind of explain a little bit about kids and as far as their be able to demonstrate self-control. And so what we're going to watch is it's called the marshmallow test, and we'll see how these kids do. And I'm guessing, I wonder how you guys would do if given the same test. But anyway, go ahead. Right? Which one would he have been? How many of you have been the little girl on the left who ate it right away? Tom, shaking his head. I would have probably been that kid. Just give me that thing. Why are we waiting? This is what's the point? Anyway, we could see the just the humor in that, and just a simple test of what? Self-control, delayed gratification. And here we have probably the other girl was probably a little bit older. She looked maybe a little older than the others, so she kind of saw the incentive of waiting a little bit. And so we're going to talk about some of these themes as we go through. Now, this is just a kickoff, so we're going to have other weeks where we're going to have like specific examples from Scripture and just seeing how these various writers and followers of God waited on Him and in the midst of their lives and how they were able to grow from that and mature from that. And as we kick off this morning, I'm just going to highlight a few things kind of related to the broader topic and hopefully leave you with a few nuggets to work with. So now there are, I was looking up idioms related to waiting. Okay? And so here's a few idioms that we're going to pull up and I'll read for you. And so there you go. All right, so we've probably said some of these. All right, so accident waiting to happen. How many of you are an accident waiting to happen? Nobody? Are you all just that good on your feet? You know, no. We've been watching this TV show Alone, and this one gal on the show, it's a survival show. Anybody watch that show Alone? Got a handful. It's fascinating. And this one gal, she is an accident waiting to happen. She constantly keeps doing stuff to herself, which is quite funny. But I don't know. I've never heard this one before. I felt like a penny waiting for change. Anybody hear that one before? I thought it was really catchy, but I'm like, where did that come from? Wait until the dust settles. We've all heard that one. What are you waiting for? Now, that can go in a lot of directions, right? Usually that means, what are you waiting for? Let's act, right? Now, by the way, when I'm talking about this, what are you waiting for? Meaning sometimes we shouldn't probably wait, right? There's some things in our lives we should probably just jump right at, right? Opportunities before us that God gives us, He wants us to walk through. So don't let this sermon on waiting give you a pass. I'll say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord, right? You're just kicking the can down the road just so you can buy some time and not make a decision, right? So sometimes we need to just act. But what are you waiting for, in another sense, relates to the fact that what is it that God's trying to do in your life through this season of waiting? What are you waiting for? What is God trying to do in you? So I have a couple good quotes. There's a ton of good quotes out there about waiting. And this first one is Elizabeth Elliot. Some of you might recognize her name. Her husband was Jim Elliot. And they were the ones who went down, I believe, to South America to a particular tribe, and him and his friends, his fellow missionaries, were killed early on. And that we've I think it I can't remember the name of the movie, but many of you probably remember it. And it was a fascinating, and she says this quote, "Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question, lifting the heart to God about whenever it intrudes upon one's thoughts." And so, really, the willingness to what? Face uncertainty. When we're traveling through times of difficulty, we're waiting We have to what? Learn to lean and trust on God. This next quote is from J.J. Packer. Some of you, J.I. Packer, Knowing God, and many of you probably are familiar with it. Wait on the Lord is a constant refrain in the Psalms, and it is a necessary word, for God often keeps us waiting. He is not so much in a hurry as we are, and it is not his way to give more light on the future than we need for action in the present, or to guide us more than one step at a time. When in doubt, do nothing but continue to wait on God. When action is needed, light will come. And so, very good insight, very good insight. And so when we're thinking about waiting, let's keep these kind of, some of these thoughts in our minds as we go along. All right, so hurry up and wait. What does that mean precisely? Okay, so hurry up and wait. Now, this is actually, and I had to look this up because I think I've heard it, many of us have heard this, and I couldn't remember the exact context. Where did this come from? And actually, it relates to the military. Anybody, you know, I know we have a few military folks in here, and they say it derived from it was maybe in the 1940s in the military, and it was basically relating to basically all the, you know, the unit would go out, and they would get their stuff ready, and, you know, their sergeant or the, you know, commander would say, okay, now go. And so they would go off to this particular area, and the orders will come when you get there. So when they would get to that place, then they would stop, and they would wait for the next orders, but things weren't quite prepared yet for the next movement or whatever the things. So this, basically the saying was, we're just going to hurry up and wait because they're prepared, they're ready to go, but they're still waiting on the orders. So hence, that's kind of where it came from. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. So oftentimes we find ourselves, right? We make one step forward, and we're waiting on what? Things to change, something to happen, a door to open. So we're kind of in this hurry up and wait mode. All right, so some questions, Kevin, we're going to pop up here to help us out. And so what causes us to wait, right? We're going to talk about some of those things. And then do good things come to those who wait, right? That's one we hear often. And is it really true? And then what should I do while I wait? Okay. All right, so good things to keep in mind. All right, so what are some causes of our waiting? All right, well, first of all, us. Wait a minute. No, I don't. You know, if I have something right before me, I'll jump in and go. Is that always true? No, it's not, right? We procrastinate, and we have various reasons why we don't do stuff. Okay, let me just give you a few reasons here real quick, and they're not going to be on a PowerPoint, but I'm just going to give you a few things. Why do we procrastinate? Why do we wait? Why do we delay? All right? And so sometimes they talk about task aversiveness, right? Something that's difficult, anxiety and fear. I could raise my hand to that one. Feeling overwhelmed. Sometimes any perfectionists in the house, right? I bet you there's a few of those in here. Delayed outcomes, we're just like, you know, we're kind of worried about what might happen. You know, if I do this, X will happen, and I'm not sure if I'm ready for that or not, right? And then also time management issues, just simple things like that, maybe underlying behaviors, low energy, and so on and so on. They give several reasons here, but we sometimes what? Get in our way of what God's trying to do in our lives. And so hence we wait, right? Okay, so the next one is others. So now others tend to kind of be problematic, right? Sometimes people say no to us, maybe not right now, you know, maybe later, but not right now. So maybe this is your response, Kevin. Not just Kevin. Kevin's going to play a video on being told no. Go ahead. We all have that response. Somebody says no to us or wait, you know, we get what? We're upset. We're frustrated, right? And so what stands out to me, and we understand this is part of life, right? Saying somebody telling us no, there's usually a reason behind it. And the key here is asking ourselves, is this person trying to help, right? They're genuinely, like, say a parent says no, oftentimes to help their kids, what? Make good decisions so they don't kind of cross a path that they're not quite ready for. So they'll say no, or just wait on that. Wait till you're a little older or something else comes along. But sometimes those things can be a hurdle. They're holding you back purposefully, really for maybe some ill intent. We never know, but we got to find out, is it a help or is it a hurdle? Okay. All right. So the third cause, right? This one is easily put is our circumstance. Our circumstance. Now, I remember after I graduated from Oral Roberts in 2005, and I was gung-ho to get a teaching job. And so I was applying. And Cheyenne knows this best. I was incredibly frustrated. I was really getting down on myself. My circumstances were saying, wait. And it was awful. It was an awful 5 years or so, 6 years, whatever it was, before that job opportunity came open. And once it came open, it opened like a flood, and a lot of good things happened. And I can look back and see how God was moving in that. And then also, I remember circumstances. I remember for years trying to have our in-laws come move to Des Moines and be closer to us so we could kind of be together. And for years, Shine and I, we would talk back and forth saying, hey guys, come and live with us, you know, move closer so we can be together. And circumstances just didn't allow it. And then in 2020, of course, the worst of the worst years ended up being our best of the best years. My in-laws moved to town. We ended up buying, you know, most of you know about the home we found in Indianola, an incredible deal. And so the circumstances for us were saying no to that, wait. 2020 comes, and it was just like a flood of just an amazing amount of good things. And so sometimes circumstances work in our favor, not always the case as we know, but in this case, it did. And so circumstances, of course, can get in our way. And then last but not least here is the fact is that God sometimes gets in our way. Does that sound bad? God, you're getting in my way. Come on, I want to move forward. Aren't you hearing my prayers? Don't you want to see me thrive and grow and be successful? Come on, God. I think that's our biggest frustration. Because he's withholding something from us that we feel that we deserve, that we should have, that he should answer that prayer, he should heal that sickness, he should do all these things. And we get very frustrated with that. Now, remarkably, we know, and when we take a step back and we look at how God is working in our lives, we can see how he uses what? All the above to help us navigate life. If we were genuinely what? Trying to follow his will and his plan. Or he kind of uses those things to kind of orchestrate things in our, hopefully, to be good to us. And that's the goal, right? Romans 8:28. You know, God works all things together for good for those who love the Lord. And we know not all the circumstances, situations are good because we suffer a lot in our lives, don't we? We struggle a lot. We have a lot of hardships. But amazingly, somehow God is able to take that what? And make it beautiful in our lives and help us grow and mature. And even though maybe we suffered a loss or an illness, we recognize God was with us in the midst of it and we weren't alone. And we grow in maturity in that. So we know God, although he gets in the way, he really doesn't. He's trying to orchestrate things. And what he's saying is, no worries. I got this, if we allow him to work in our lives. Okay, all right. So now, Kevin, let's go ahead and go to the next slide. What about the what ifs? And this is where we say, well, God, this is the catch, and that's the fly in the ointment. This is the thing that kind of hangs us up. Because sometimes there's these, what if God, if you don't do X? What if God, this doesn't happen? What if this relationship is not repaired? What if, what if, what if, what if? And we have a myriad of those what ifs in our lives. And they consume us because they're unknown things in the future that scare us, causes fear, because it relates to what? Typically, heavy-duty topics. Sickness, death, loss of a loved one, you know, relationships are broken, and on. Loss of job. Major life difficulties come our ways. And we're praying, and God, I know I'm trusting you and I'm believing you. What do we do in the midst of that? And here's the thing. God's not surprised about our questions and our concerns. And by the way, He wants to hear those things. He wants us to say, God, what is going on? I don't get it. I don't understand it. Help me figure this out. Guess what? He hears us. He understands. And I love these verses. And in Proverbs 13, 12, and I just give you a couple examples, but there's passages throughout the Bible that kind of speak to God's understanding. He's with us. He's there. He's not forgotten about us. He's completely present. And I love this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. He understands that when that hope is not quite fulfilled as quickly as we want it to be, that it, what? It causes us, what? Distress, hardship, struggle. And then when that is ultimately fulfilled, what? We feel amazing, right? And then the next verse, I love this, Romans 8:23. And this is kind of a big picture one, and I'd love to almost do a whole sermon on this in particular. But he talks about just this verse is specifically in the context is speaking of this coming future of God's, you know, return, the restoring of God's kingdom. And this is a very big picture passage. But I think it points to kind of the nature of our existence here as human beings. And I would say this for all human beings, to be honest with you. All human beings, that we inwardly, what? Grown and that this our adoption is sonship. As Christians, we believe that we are image bearers of God, and that one day our hope is to be together with Him in eternity. And our bodies, our spirits, are inclined to what? Seek after that, desire after that, live our lives in such a way in hopes of that. And so we have this kind of inward what? Internal frustration of, God, when are you going to make things right? When are you going to make me whole? When are you going to make my suffering, my struggle, my heart, you know, go away? I think we have this constant inward groan. And so God understands and He recognizes that's part of our makeup. And so if you feel this frustration or this internal kind of unease, I think that's part of it. Now, I believe we can find contentment in the midst of this, and we can find peace in a lot of ways, but I think we're just kind of naturally sense there's something more, and we're seeking after it, and sometimes it causes us what? Frustration and hardship. So the what-ifs stand out, but we have a few tips. We have a few things we can do along the way, all right, as we move on to the next one. So what do we do? How do we do this? How do we figure this out? All right, here's a few tips. Okay, this first one, recognize future outcomes are secondary to present obedience. Catch that? Recognize future outcomes are secondary to present obedience. We can't do anything about what? The future. We can't change the past. It's done, right? We move on. We can't control what's going to happen in the future. We can, you know, we can kind of align our lives in such a way to hopefully have a good future, but we never know what's going to happen. We really, really don't. And so the goal is to what? Kind of live out this present obedience in such a way to be honoring to the Lord. And I love this verse, and I don't have it here for you, but it says this. This is in 2 Peter 3:8. We've all heard this. That's somewhere along the way. And this is Peter saying to the believers there. And he says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God is not in a hurry, clearly. He has eternity on His side. Now, we're on a clock, right? And our clock's running out, and we get that. You know, and so, a day to us is 1,000 years to him. Obviously, it puts things in perspective because we don't live on his timeline. But that said, the point is, he wants us to what? And actually, Peter goes on to tell the believers, hey, guys, while we're waiting and with this perspective in mind, knowing that God is still working and he's still present, maybe not on our timeline, he says, go ahead and live what? Holy and godly lives in the meantime. So in the present, we're what? Being obedient. Doing our best to live our lives to honor him. Okay. All right. So number two, know that God's goodness is not contingent on our expectations. Sometimes we hitch our wagon of our belief in God and our understanding of him or our feelings about God based upon what? Does he give me what I want? Lord, I prayed. What? It's not there. What? No. Hey. You're not good. Forget you. I'm done. Did you see those videos we watched? We're telling the God of the universe, I know better than you do. Fix it. That's our attitude, right? We can't put our personal expectation of what we think God is supposed to do and translate it to whether he's good or not. God is good regardless of what he doles out to us. And he gives you that little lollipop every time you ask for it. Oh, you need that? Oh, here you go. Oh, you need that? Oh, here you go. He's the candy man. Is that how we treat God? And we know that's not how we do it. Just like a parent and a child. Clearly, God knows what? Best. He knows best. And he says, this is Isaiah 55, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me put it in perspective for you guys. Guess what? I love you. I'm here for you. But I'm not going to give you everything you want because I have to keep the big picture in mind. And what you think is good for you isn't. And what you think the way is you're supposed to go probably isn't. Well, many of us could probably say yes to this. And again, this is an easy example. When we look at hindsight on our own lives as teenagers, young people, even young adults, and those who have gone before us, and they would say to us, hey, don't do X, Y, and Z because if you go there, the outcomes are going to be poor. And you say, ah, forget that. I'm going to do it anyway. And what happens? Boom, we're on our face. Boom, we're on our face. And then we go, whoa, what just happened? Oh, yeah, that's right. They told me not to do that. Doggone it. What do I keep doing that for? Because we're stubborn and proud. We all are. We all are. As human beings, we're stubborn and proud, and we place our expectations on God as if he has to follow our ways when his ways aren't our ways. So we have to get over that. We have to recognize that and ingrain that in our minds. All right. So the next one. All right. Live in the moment with hopeful expectation of the future. So this naturally follows the last one, right? And it says in Matthew 6, it says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In Proverbs, and this is verses 3 and 9. And excuse me, I didn't put the chapter here in my notes, so forgive me for that. But in this section, chapter of Proverbs, it says, and this is in verse 3, the heart of man plans his way, there we go, but the Lord establishes his steps, right? And in verse 9, it says, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And then James 5, 7 through 8 says this. He says, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. And all these passages are the what? We're living in the moment. We're living faithfully. We're making plans. We're working hard. We're doing what we're supposed to do. in hopes of what? A good future, right? The farmer plants his crops. He's diligent to do the work he knows he needs to do in order to see that crop grow. And what does he do after that? He waits and allows things to come together. And if all goes well, right, and the weather cooperates and everything comes together, they what? The crop is bountiful. Now, can he guarantee it? No. Can he guarantee some of the situations, circumstances, the weather and the outcomes of that? Of course not. But he does his part in the present in hopes of what? An amazing future, a bountiful future. So seizing the day truly is probably the best approach, because the here and now is really all we can control. And then hopefully, what? We look for good things in the future, okay? All right, and so the next one here is what? Allow God to shape you in the journey. In Romans 5, and it says, verses 3 and 4, it says, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Having patience builds us up. We know it leads to what? Stronger character and increased faith in God. We know struggles are going to come, hardships are going to come. Again, we know God's not surprised by all this. We know that things are, you know, we're not promised everything wonderful and glorious on this side of heaven. We know for a fact it's not going to be that way if we're realistic, right? But God's not surprised by that, and he's with us anyway. And he says, guess what? Help me grow you in the journey. Help me as you're waiting, as you're walking this out, help me grow you in this waiting, because it's going to what? Strengthen us, cause us to mature and be more what? Robust. One of the best favorite questions I had in my philosophy class that we would talk about is we had just a series of just random philosophical questions. And I think I've mentioned this years ago, probably in a sermon, but one of the questions was, if you could be, say, stuck in a happiness box where you're just kind of, everything's just perfectly fine all the time, and you're just kind of, you turn into this kind of amorphous blob with a big, you know, smile on your face, right? You just sit there and you're just like, this is great all the time. Or would you like to live the life you are now, right? With its kind of its tug of war, you know, the struggles and the hardships and the joys and the you know, the things that we can do. I would say 99 out of 100 of those students said, I don't want to go in the happiness box, because they know what? The suffering and the struggle and the hardship are makes us what? Better people. And this, I would say this is a universal principle. Those who go through hardship and struggle and difficulties, while overwhelming, have the what? Potential to grow us into something that we cannot otherwise be unless we had gone through it. You following me there? You would not be the person you are today unless you had gone through the suffering and the struggle that you've gone through. Now, can the suffering and the struggle and all those things break somebody? Can they destroy somebody potentially? Yes. And that's a reality too. Because those things, what? Life is too much. Life is overwhelming. I can't do it anymore. And we can all think of instances in our lives and people we know who have felt too overwhelmed. And they weren't sure what to do. They were desperate. So that is a reality. But the vast majority of us understand, as we trust God and we follow God, and even in the most difficult situations, he can use that to build us and shape us into an incredible what? Human being, a follower of him, one with character, one with who's matured and grown in their own lives. And so, a few more verses here. Lamentations 3:25, and I believe it was on our video, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. Psalm 25:3. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 27:14. There are so many incredible verses in the Bible you can go to that really give us that what? Encouragement when we're waiting. There's so many. And they will grow us, and they will build us, and they will strengthen us. And Kevin, we're going to skip that last video, okay? But I just want to end here on this focus point, okay? I think we so often see the waiting as a negative. I have to wait. You know what you mean? I got to wait on that. You know, we're in the drive-through line. You know, and we about lose our minds if we're waiting there too long, don't we? I do all the time. If we're stuck in traffic, it's a nightmare. How many of you are shaking your fist in the car? Don't raise your hand to that because I'm pretty sure most of us do. And waiting can be awful, whatever it is. And waiting especially for things that are what? Important. Waiting for that diagnosis to be better. Waiting for that marriage to be restored. Waiting for that friend to come back to the Lord. Waiting for that loved one who's straight. Whatever it is, it can be awful. But here's the thing, and this is how I want to end it for us this morning with this focus point. Know that there is intention and purpose behind our waiting. There is intention. If we are following, doing our best to follow God, you know, okay, God, I give my life to you. I'm going to do my best to honor you. He has intention and purpose for the journey you're on. It may not make sense. We can't add two and two together. And I was going to share more stories, you know, personal stories about how I've seen God just kind of orchestrate things as I waited and how God moved. In hindsight, I can look like, holy mackerel, that's crazy how God worked all that out. It was all purposeful. Everything I went through, even though it was a nightmare and frustrating and hard, and I look back and I go, whoa, he did this to orchestrate these moments. So that there's intention in that. There's purpose in that. And so look at it as a good and not as a bad, okay? And then, of course, at times, what? God may delay our short-term desires for our long-term good. He might delay our what? Short-term desires for our long-term good. We can't be the child that say, when we hear no, we cry and we moan and groan and we shake our fist and say, come on, God, what's your problem? And he's not worried about those frustrations. Like I said earlier, he's shake your fist. He hears us. He knows what's going on inside our hearts. And he feels our frustration. But what he's saying desperately to us is, it's okay. No worries. I got you. This wait's going to be good. When you see this unfold, you trust me through this process, I will blow your mind on what amazing things I'm going to do. But don't short circuit it. Don't go off the path. Don't walk away. Don't try to do things your way, because your way doesn't work. And that's what we have to ingrain in our brain. We get so caught up into my way, that's it. This is what I need. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to just go after it. I'm just going to plow over every obstacle I think's in my way. And that is a path to what? Probably a lot of broken relationships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of hardships, simply because we're not taking into account what God's called us to do and be, how it might affect others, how it might impact our own future. That short-term delay of those desires, those things we want, ultimately is for our good. Amen? So let this sink into your mind this morning as we talk about over the next few weeks, as we ponder on and we share more stories of waiting and how God has moved. Let's always default back to mind, what is God wanting to me to wait on now and trust him with? And how is my attitude about this? Am I angry or am I frustrated? And that's okay. But at the same time, am I going, you know what? I don't like this, but I trust you. And I remember many times when I was going through the struggle of just, you know, that teaching position opening up. I remember when our house was, you know, when we sold our house at Bundy and we we weren't in the house yet at Indian Knoll, and we were like literally homeless for a week. It was weird. Ryan remembers that well. He put us up in a hotel for at least a couple, 3 nights. And I remember thinking to myself, I just don't know. Like, this is awful. How is this good? It was terrible. And then many of you are probably recounting your own things, that circumstances you face, that you're just like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. God's going to be good. And I know things may or may not always turn out as just as we think. So I'm not suggesting that it's always going to work out just the way we think it should. But I know ultimately God is good enough to take things, even though they don't work out as we expect, it will be good to us regardless. Because more than anything, he wants us what? To not to get everything we want, per se. He wants us to grow. Just be more like him. Because in eternity, that's who we're going to be with, is him. And life is not going to be easy. And it's not going to be just meeting all our, getting all the candy that we want, right? All the good things. But it means just growing in relationship with him and knowing that he's going to be good to us in the end if we're faithful in the moment. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you for this morning. For those in here who are waiting, and maybe they're in frustration and anger and agony, and they're wondering if things are going to change. Maybe it's something with them personally. They're struggling. They're like, I keep spinning and spinning and spinning, and just I'm not getting anywhere. Or the somebody whose relationship's broken, they're just, I want to restore this, and I'm waiting for it to get better, but it's not. Maybe it's the job, maybe it's their marriage, maybe whatever it is, God. God, I pray that they would lay it at your feet right now. God, that they would say, you know what, Lord, I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm going to be obedient and just follow you my best I can in this moment. And while I can't change my future, or maybe may or may not get the future I want, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to follow you. Let that be their heart's cry. And then ultimately, Lord, I pray that they would be able to see, as they look back, hindsight, they can see the good that you were trying to do for them along the way. So God, we thank you for your word and your patience with us. And God, help us through the next few weeks really just kind of absorb and hear these stories and look back and how these various biblical characters lived out their lives and waited on you and trusted you and honored you in the midst of their own struggles and their difficulties, Lord. And help us relate that to our own lives so we can grow and mature in you. God, bless everyone this morning as they leave this place. God, and whatever it is that they're just, whatever prayers that are out there, whatever things that are going on, God, pray you just begin to move and give them a sense of peace of what you're going to do in their lives. We just thank you for this in your name. Amen.